Wow! Welcome to Backdoor Cover. I'm Ross Boland here with Dan Magister.
Hey, Ross.
And Dylan Shibari.
Hey, Billy.
In the Grand X Media Studios of Austin, Texas, after... I think last week we said it was we were recording after the most exciting World Series game of all time. That has been beaten into the ground by...
One of those series that you don't want to end because it's been too entertaining. I don't recall having this much fun watching a game, like a series that I have no stake in whatsoever. It's just pure entertainment.
Got to disagree with you. I do want it to end.
I don't.
Because it is...
I'm not riding the emotional roller coaster you are. I'm just enjoying it for what it is.
It's been a lot.
Yeah.
To take in.
The swings in last night's game, like the, you know...
The highs
and
lows.
Back and forth is what I'm saying. Yeah.
Yeah.
As someone who's, you know...
There's not supposed to be that many home runs in a baseball game. It's confusing. Let's start with the from the top, I guess, with W's, George W. Bush. Well, first George H.W. Bush.
He's not in a good spot.
Recent grope.
Oh, we're going there?
Oh, we're going there.
Let's just have fun today. Let's talk about the grope
nah,
stuff.
Okay, look, I want to defend the man. He's in a freaking wheelchair.
Dr. Copperfield?
He's taking photos with people.
What is it? Oh, David Copperfield?
Dr. Copperfield. No, that'd be creepier. Oh, yeah. It's David Copperfield, which is less creepy. Still creepy, but he's 100 years old and he's about to die. He's in a wheelchair. Give the dude a break. Jesus.
Just try to make... doesn't know where he is.
Yeah, and have you seen the look on his face? All respect to HW. I don't think he knows where he is.
I don't think
he knows what's going on.
No.
He's got the... Have you ever seen the George or the Bill Burr bit about how by the time you're an elderly old man, everybody has the same look on their face? That
he
look
has
of
the
ho-
look, yeah.
That look of horror?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's got that look now.
Yeah.
And frankly...
His mouth was getting wider and wider by the second when they had the camera on him.
Yeah. That's how it always... I mean, so it is.
It looked
anyway,
like he was having a stroke.
His son, George W., comes out, hits us with a fake out like he's going to hit the rubber, pulls a quick 180. A
little pickoff move.
Yeah, that's pretty much what it was.
Yeah.
Fires in a fastball.
71 years young.
To Verlander. Dude, I didn't realize he was 71. He's in incredible shape for an ex-president who had to deal with 9/11 and all the other things he's dealt with.
Are you surprised he didn't go to the mound? And I'm saying this because
not really
the first home Yankees game after 9/11.
Yeah.
Of course, this was a long time ago. He was president. He had the talk with Derek Jeter before he went out there and said, "You have to throw from the mound, or they're going to boo you."
He said, "That's New York, though."
Well, and he also did that in full Kevlar, which is really fucking hard to do.
That's one of my favorite videos of all time, by the way.
Yeah, it is. It's if you've never seen that, Google George W. 9/11 first pitch.
Yeah.
And it's about 10 minutes, I think, the whole thing, if you watch the entire...
It's incredible.
It is very, very, very cool.
That's also 16 years ago.
Very long time ago.
He's now 71. So I'll give him,
mixing in the... What do you call it?
A little pizzazz.
Yeah, he added some spice to it with the quick 180 and the fake out. I thought it was perfect.
He still fired it in there, too.
It was beautiful.
And he dabbed it up with... Verlander.
Yeah, it was beautiful.
Yeah, it was great.
So that was a great start. The back and forth of the game was nuts. I feel really bad for anybody who didn't watch this live because it's not something you can replicate. It was. Can you name a better sporting event that you've ever watched on television than last night's World Series game? Because I can't.
I mean, as a prisoner of the moment, no. No, I
right.
cannot.
Right. Well, as of 12 hours later, I cannot.
Well, yeah. I mean, in sports, we have short memories. We tend to forget the great things that happened before because of stuff like that, because of last night.
Okay, but
that wasn't
in a
all
game
time.
Of that magnitude,
sure.
With that many swings, I don't think
the amount of comebacks.
I've enjoyed other sporting events more because of the emotional interest I had in them. The Texas National Championship, for example, I've
sure.
never had that much fun watching a sporting event. That's
sure.
because I'm a Texas fan. Because
you're a UT fan.
Sure.
Like at first, when the Astros go down and Kershaw hasn't even taken the bump, you're like, all right, this game's over. And then once they get to Kershaw, you're like, all right, no lead is safe.
When they gave up three in the first inning, I was as low as I've ever been in my life, ever. That was pure and utter misery.
Because
Kershaw's looked unbeatable the entire playoffs this year. And we've already seen him. We've already faced him once, and he just made the whole lineup look like a bunch of little boys.
Sure.
But not this time. Thank God. Once he got out, once he was pulled, I had no doubt we were going to win, but I didn't think it was going to take as long as it did, and I didn't think it was going to be as many ups and downs as there were, to the point that my heart nearly exploded inside of my chest.
Well, it was getting to the point where if you made contact with the ball,
it was a home run.
There was a chance that it was gone.
Yeah.
Also interesting is I think the first game of the game one was, what, the shortest game in World Series history? Is that
like
correct?
2.5 hours or
it's
something like that?
2.5 hours. Yeah.
This was like 5.
The 9-inning, like the regulation, was, I think, the longest. If it had ended as a 9-inning game, would have been the longest 9-inning game in World Series history. It was like 4 hours, 52 minutes, something like that. It was insane.
Yeah, I saw somebody tweet out, like, I feel like the 5th inning was actually longer than the entire game one.
Dude, it was not a short game to watch, no, by any means. There's a lot of tired people out there in America today, and especially in Houston. What's crazy is, like, people were so hyped. And it was obviously the last game, the last home game for the Astros of this season. That when I watched some of the post game stuff, like the local stuff, dude, there were people out there going crazy for like another hour and a half after it was over, like high energy crazy, like as if we already won the World Series. It was fucking crazy.
Does that concern you?
No.
An emotional letdown after.
I don't think it worked. Baseball doesn't really work that way. Like you need the. Especially, I mean, if this series has told us anything so far, it's that, like, both of these teams have the ability to recalibrate after a devastating loss or an incredibly emotional win.
This is true, but that was a truly devastating loss for the Dodgers. Like, I don't know if they're coming back from that, especially with Verlander on the bump for Game 6.
Oh, I don't think they are either. I think they're fucked.
I think it's over after 6.
It is going to be... If Verlander comes out there and brings the stuff he's had all postseason, it's over. There's no way they're keeping up with the scoring of the Astros. They're not doing it. The Astros have shown that they can hit every pitcher that those guys have, every single one. And not just hit them thanks to these slick, juiced baseballs, hit them out.
Because no one's throwing sliders.
Yeah, that's a really weird thing. I mean, we were talking about it right before we started recording. Apparently, and I didn't know this until they brought it up during the broadcast last night, as a result of these, quote, slick, end quote, balls that are being used in the World Series, none of these pitchers can throw sliders. And this affects, in particular, closers, many of whom are two-pitch guys.
Or any relief pitcher.
Yeah. And
this seems like
anybody in the bullpen.
Monumental problem.
Or an incredible thing.
Because they're just gassing it down the middle, dude, just hoping somebody doesn't make contact. They're just throwing heaters.
Fuck the bullpens, man. This is awesome.
No, don't fuck the bullpens.
It's whoever gets to bat last.
When the Dodgers... They trotted out Morrow. Is that his last name?
Oh,
Morrow?
My God.
The guy who had pitched.
What were they doing?
Who had pitched 5 games in the last 6 days, and they brought him out there.
They had said before the game he was not going to throw. And then he came out, and I don't think he got an out.
He was just throwing meatballs up there. He had nothing in his arm.
He was getting destroyed.
Springer, the first pitch, Springer hit 900 feet.
It exploded. The ball exploded.
He pissed on that ball.
Did you see the
pyrotechnics?
It literally looked like it exploded because the pyrotechnics shot off right when it hit. That was fucking awesome. When Springer hit that home run,
after he made that colossal mistake,
after making one of the worst errors I've ever seen and immediately redeeming himself, but just first pitch, he was like, fuck this. I've got to do something right now or my reputation in this city is screwed. And he just crushed it, destroyed it. Yeah, that diving catch he attempted to make in center field, not his brightest moment.
He wasn't even that close to it. What was he thinking?
No, he was 2 feet off still, and his eyes were closed. At the very least, keep your eyes open and try to knock it down. I have no idea what he was thinking, but it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Nobody will ever talk about that again because he crushed the first pitch he saw, and we ended up winning the game. He needs to be buying drinks for other guys who hit home runs, too, for bailing him out because that – would have been bad. Had we lost because of that, it would have been very, very bad.
Yeah. I mean, the entire game was crazy, though. Like, the 8th inning, I think, the guy wanted to tag up at third, and he thought, for the Dodgers, and he thought the third base coach was saying, no.
He was saying, go, go, go.
He was saying, go, go, go.
He couldn't hear because it was so loud inside of Minute Maid.
Can we go back to the baseballs for a second?
That's an assist from the fans.
So the slicked baseballs, I guess we're talking about here.
Mm-hmm.
They're taking, I guess, the pitcher's inability to get rotation on it a little bit, I guess, for the sliders, whatever. But these balls are flying out of the ballpark as well. Correa's home run and Puig's home run.
Puig's hitting it off the end of his bat.
I don't think it was off the end of the bat, but he hit it with one hand. It was a one-handed home run. He reached for it and just kind of slapped it out to left field. I know it's a short porch in left in Houston. I know that. But Correa's ball, that's a routine fly ball. That is a routine fly ball. That's not even a warning track fly ball.
There's two ways to look at it. Either the balls are juiced or he's just that strong.
Nah.
And I choose Insane. To look at it as he's just that strong.
A lot of talk out there.
Okay, I'll say this. Who cares? The game is 1,000 times more exciting like this. If that ball's a routine pop fly, the game sucks. If it's a home run, the game's fucking awesome. So, juice the shit out of the balls, man. Fuck these pitchers. I don't care about your ERA. Nobody cares. And in the long run, all these guys are going to make more money as a result because more people are going to watch baseball if baseball games look like they did last night versus like a 2-0 win with the most exciting part of the game was some guy hitting a double. Fuck that. I want to see 10 home runs in extra innings alone. That's what I want. Speaking of home runs and the Puig home run, so Puig poked that, what should have been basically a line out that left the stadium. And this woman in the front row of left field catches the home run ball. Her husband is to her direct right. And to his direct right is another Astros fan. And the other Astros fan, on the other side of her husband, reaches across and is like grabbing for the ball that's in her hand. And she's kind of like not resisting. Like, what's he just, does he just want to see it or something?
Like, could have been like her husband or boyfriend's like buddy.
Do they know each other?
Yeah.
I don't think so. I've
heard reports they might.
Okay, well, okay, well, let's get through it first. The dude grabs the ball from her, and as the husband in between them attempts to stop him, he throws it back onto the field, which for those who are unaware is a thing in baseball. If the other team hits a home run, you throw that shit back. Unless it's the World Series and a woman catches it, and you're stealing it from her and throwing it back. But the husband was pissed. He looked like he was about to backhand the guy in the face.
How could you not be pissed? I mean...
Oh, you got to be pissed for at least a second. Then it's hilarious. I mean, what are you going to do with the Puig home run ball?
If it was like a game-winning Dodgers home run or like something, like if it was like out of hand and it was going really poorly for Houston, I can understand maybe how you don't want to – that's a ball you're not proud to keep. But it was a close game at that point, and you just have to keep that ball, I think.
There's some news on this. The Houston Chronicle is reporting that this guy is the brother-in-law of the woman who got the ball.
Yes.
Yes. So, it looks
and
like
so
she
that's going to make
she gave
Thanksgiving.
It up pretty easily.
Okay,
it
so
wasn't
she
like
did
a
know.
Struggle, yeah.
And he was probably about eight, $7 beers deep at that point.
She said,
drunk.
Quote, "I would have just liked to have been able to throw it back myself," which sure. I don't believe. I think
fuck
she.
Yeah.
I think if you catch a World Series ball, you hang a home run, you hang on to that thing.
Look, that guy was drunk. Let's just say it.
Yeah.
The look
he
on
was very
face,
irritated.
The look
rage.
On his face, he wanted to fight Puig, but all he could do was throw his ball back. So he did it.
And
did
I haven't been able to confirm this, but Dave told me, Dave Ruff, Postgrad Problems, told me this morning that this guy has been doxxed online. That people have outed his personal information
on
for
Reddit.
Being a jerk on Reddit.
Oh, come on.
Oh, give me a fucking
He's just
break.
A drunk baseball fan having fun. But yeah, you gotta let her throw it back though. It's not yours to throw back.
Nah, bullshit.
Even if it is your sister-in-law,
you take that shit and you throw it back.
Not a good look for the brother.
He
let
did
him do that.
He did what he had to do. The brother got cucked. He did what he had to do. I respect it. Hero, villain, however you want to look at it, the man took charge, and he looked like a fucking total psychopath doing it, like a total psycho. We got Verlander on the mound tomorrow in Game 7 in
back LA.
In LA,
Game 6.
Game 6, sorry. I was up late. I mean, he has the ability to close it down, obviously. We'll see. We'll see how it goes. But, God, I don't know if I'll survive another game like last night, but I would take another one like that.
And because of how intense that game was, and it broke the it was tied before that.
Yeah.
You feel like that was the game, like the momentum
it
is
broke it open.
The momentum is squarely on Houston's side.
It was a back-breaking loss.
Man,
yeah. It's tough.
Yeah,
it's going to be really tough.
Whoever lost that game was going to be one of the worst losses in franchise history for either team. Worse for the Astros, obviously, because they don't have a World Series. But yeah, you got to fuck the Dodgers.
Fuck them.
Fuck them.
We'll see how it goes.
One more thing. I went and watched game 5 or 4 at Cover 3 on Saturday, a sports bar here in Austin, with a bunch of my friends that were in town. The whole bar is Astros fans. I mean, we're in the heart of Texas here. But the table right next to us is just this Dodgers couple, probably in their late 30s. And they were not happy with the aggressive showing from our table. Like, at one point, my buddy sitting across from me, he had had a few drinks. Somebody hit a home run, one of the Astros did, and he stood up and aggressively humped in their direction. And they didn't appreciate that. This was like the third inning or something.
I can't imagine why.
Well, so when shit hit the fan in the top of the ninth, I believe it was, they gave it back pretty good. And it got really, really awkward in there, man. Like,
a little testy.
This was game 4?
It was intense on Saturday.
Dodgers blew it out.
The top of the ninth. 5-run top of the ninth. And I was sitting closest to this man and this woman. I think they were husband and wife, I assume. But I don't know. And they were talking a lot of shit. And I was composed and sober. And I was like, I've never wanted to kick somebody in the head so bad in my entire life. The woman was the worst. She was fucking just heckling.
Like, what was she doing? What was she saying?
Screaming right in my ear from a foot away.
Hey, if you're going to give it, you got to take it.
But I wasn't the one.
Oh, like she walked over to y'all to yell?
No, man, she's sitting 2 feet from me.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it was rough.
If she got out of her seat and walked over to your table and did that, then that's...
you throw food.
Yeah, that's...
That's when you throw food.
That aggression.
And I considered it. I had a big-ass bowl of macaroni. I was like, I might...
Just dump it on her
head. I might start a food fight here. Like, we might have a hook situation on our hands. Anyway, that's neither here nor there. Just saying, I want to give myself credit for not assaulting a stranger.
Credit to you for not assaulting that woman.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Very excited for game 2, or game 6. Thank God it's not game 2. Game 6 tomorrow, Verlander, go Astros. On to college football. Pretty good weekend. Good weekend. Sports have been good lately. We've had all the sports.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Dan got crushed.
Yes.
Did you?
I took some L's. I went 1-3-1. Although
it's not, dude, that's not that bad.
It's not bad, but also if you took Vandy with the hook, that's a win because Vandy was a push at 7. But if you got the 7.5, you win.
Mm.
And if you took Penn State in the points, not the money line, you're still covered. But that was an all time collapse.
How much were they up by?
18.
With how much to go?
Whew. At a certain point, they were up 11 with 7 minutes left.
So yeah,
two possession game.
That's a bad loss.
You can't lose that game.
So does this take Penn State out? You'll have to forgive me. I'm going to have a lot of questions about college football. Yeah. My focus was squarely on the World Series this weekend. Does this take Penn State out of the running for the playoff?
Yeah, because they're not going to make the conference championship now. If Ohio State loses another like a conference game,
right,
they have the tiebreaker with Penn State.
Right.
So they need Ohio State to lose twice again.
And that's not going to happen.
No. And I do take issue, though, with Ohio State being ranked ahead of Oklahoma when Oklahoma went into Columbus and won by 2 touchdowns.
It's a little weird.
Just a little.
Yeah, I'm an OU hater, and I can agree with that.
Well, let's run through the AP poll first before we get back to, like, the recap or whatever.
Can we pull it up on that?
Yeah, I got you. Alabama, number one. Georgia, Ohio State, Wisconsin, Notre Dame, Clemson, Penn State, Oklahoma, Miami, TCU, Oklahoma State, Washington, Virginia Tech, Ohio State, Iowa State, UCF. 15, Dan.
My Knights, man.
15.
We're moving up, but we took a huge L with USF losing to Houston.
Yeah, that's a bummer.
That could have been a potential top 10 matchup.
Eesh.
Yeah.
Anyway, considered.
Fuck it up, Charlie.
Yeah, okay, so what? Penn State collapsed.
Yep.
Bad collapse.
Really bad. They let JT Barrett just carve them up in the fourth quarter. And all of a sudden, their offensive line just couldn't block. Like, McSorley and Barkley were getting tackled before they could hand the ball off.
You don't want that.
No, no.
TCU lost.
Yeah. Matt Campbell and Iowa State knocked off another top five team.
Impressive.
In Ames.
Very impressive.
TCU. I think they have more top five wins in the last few weeks than they have in their entire program history.
I'm kind of bummed for TCU fans, man. I thought they had a legit shot at
not with Kenny
making
Hill.
This year real.
Not with Kenny Trill, quarterback.
Yeah, I don't like him.
This was bound to happen. And they're probably going to lose to Texas next week.
That would please me. That would be the only game I'll be rooting for Texas over another Texas school.
Come on, man.
There's a very real possibility Texas wins out, finishes 8-4. TCU, Kansas, West Virginia, Tech. Those are all winnable games.
Be an impressive winning out. If they
especially
did.
With Todd Orlando, man.
Todd Orlando.
The Todd
best,
Orlando.
The best DC name in the country.
Noted porn star.
Noted defensive coordinator.
Oh, yeah, defensive coordinator.
Right.
I think the most impressive win in the week, though, was definitely Notre Dame. Notre Dame just came in and just beat.
It says here they pushed in NC State's shit.
Yeah, they did.
that's the line written on our docket.
That's what I wrote. They're fucking good. Notre Dame's fucking good. I mean, Georgia's good, too, but I'm excited to see a rematch.
That's anal sex for those who aren't familiar.
Yeah, that's the implication there. Yeah.
The implication is that they had butt sex
right.
with NC State.
They had their way with the Wolfpack.
And NC
yeah.
State was
and
the,
then
on
NC
the
State had not cleared the had not cleared
the shit
out.
So it just got pushed in.
So it got pushed.
That's disgusting. The visual there is just not pleasing.
Can we get the clip from Training Day where I'll send it to you, Michael. We'll put that in right here.
Yeah. Is that actually what the phrase means?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh yeah.
Okay.
What did you think of, man?
I thought it was something with like pushing your dick in or something. I don't know.
Well, then it would say push their dicks in.
Well, you push the shit in with your
push
dick.
Push your actual shit in.
It's
yes.
Yeah, we don't know.
That's what I'm saying.
Okay. I think we're good. Yeah. I think we're good on that. Anyway, yeah, good. Great win by Notre Dame. Great shit pushing.
Great shit pushing by Notre Dame.
It's truly disgusting is what it is.
It is truly disgusting.
They got Miami on the schedule. I think Notre Dame's going to roll Miami. Like, Miami does not look very good. They're probably the most overrated undefeated team in the country right now.
They're 9, Miami? Yeah.
Yeah,
9.
They just beat North Carolina, like a very bad North Carolina team by a touchdown. Mm. So, yeah, no, Notre Dame's going to get them.
They'll get you. Oh, they'll get you.
And then they got Stanford to finish the season. So.
Did you all see Baker Mayfield's shirt getting off the bus before the game against Tech?
Yeah, so last year, Texas Tech made Baker Mayfield like traitor shirts.
Right.
And Mayfield wore it off the bus to the game.
Fuck. I don't know.
I love Baker.
I'm back and forth on Mayfield.
I'm all in.
I actually like this move. I'm probably the biggest Baker Mayfield hater there is.
I think it's you. But
I do like this move.
You're the one who keeps swaying me back towards hate, but
I thoroughly
enjoy him as an entertainer.
He's a Hall of Fame chotch is what he is. But this is a respectable chotch move. This was a perfect amount of chotch.
Was an alumnus of your high school, right?
No.
No?
Absolutely not.
You like Travis?
I did not go to Lake Travis High School.
I thought you were a Lake Travis guy.
Yeah, he did.
Oh, I didn't even know he was an Austin guy.
Yeah, he's an Austin dude. That's why he was talking shit about Westlake about Sam Elliott.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, well, he's never beat Lake Travis.
Yeah. Oklahoma State beat the hell out of West Virginia. Did we already talk about this?
Yeah. 50-39. Pretty much called it. West Virginia hung in there until about the fourth quarter, and Oklahoma State blew the doors off.
The over-under was 73. It was the one we were saying was a lot of points. Yeah. And 89 points. That's 50 plus 39 for those at home doing math.
What were you going to say, Micah?
I just thought that was kind of remarkable.
Thank you, Micah.
Well, we did remark on it.
Valuable input. I like the word remarkable.
It's a Micah word.
It's a Micah word for sure. It, Micah. What else?
We got Khalil Tate, Arizona, just pretty much trying to win the Heisman in the month of October.
It's been a big few years for Khalil's.
We have a firing, a head coach vacancy. McElwain out.
Yeah.
That's huge.
He kind of deserves it.
That's a highly coveted spot.
It is.
And that's a domino affect firing is what that is.
Also, Tennessee
meaning that someone will vacate another school to get this job.
Tennessee reported that, kind of that Butch Jones will not be retained in 2018. So
that is shocking.
When did that happen?
Over the weekend. Also, there's a report that came out that they offered John Gruden a contract in excess of $10 million a year, which is hilarious.
Every time the Texas job opens up, John Gruden's name is floated out there, too.
Okay, every time any job opens up, Gruden's name is floated.
Anytime high-profile job.
Do they not? Maybe people need to give up on Gruden.
What connection does John Gruden have to college football?
Well, he's John Gruden.
He married a Tennessee cheerleader, I think. His wife is from Tennessee. I remember the last time the Tennessee job came up, people were trying to connect the dots to him.
Has he ever coached
college football before?
No.
I would just love to see John Gruden try to go on like a recruiting trip into some kid's house.
Right.
Like, he's a complete psychopath. Just like him trying
freaking
to
freaking out
like,
the kid's family and shit. And Gruden has an incredible job. Why would he walk away from what he's doing right now?
I also think he's the highest paid at what he does.
Yeah, he's making millions and millions of dollars. Let me look. I'm going to Google John Gruden's salary.
I mean, he does that. Does he do the Elite 11 camp with Trent Dilfer where they like break everyone down? I know he has the bus.
No.
$6.5 million a year.
I think he's the highest paid broadcaster. I'm pretty sure.
$6.5 million a year.
Yeah, but he's not going anywhere.
He can get $10 million.
He's reportedly ESPN's highest paid personality.
Gruden was quoted in 2015 saying the Tennessee job is, quote, a dream job.
Huh. Why?
He didn't say it was his dream job.
Well, yes.
he said it was a dream
quote,
job.
Quote, Tennessee is a dream job for a lot of people, me included.
Oh.
Well.
In fact, a graduate assistant at Tennessee in the mid-80s, and I think that's where he met his wife.
So John Gruden just
took... There's the very small connection.
He took a Tony Dungy team and then beat a team that he built in Oakland in the Super Bowl that didn't change any of their calls or any of their audibles or like the way they like.
He stuck with it.
Yeah, yeah. The Callahan in Oakland just didn't change any of Gruden's like legacy or any of his play calling. So like, I don't know if Gruden's that good of a coach.
Okay, the difference between $6.5 million a year to do what Gruden does right now, which essentially takes no prep work, no research, no late hours or early mornings or anything like that.
Granted, he probably does like some film session very unnecessarily.
Yeah, he probably jacks it to like YouTube highlights or something. But no, I'm saying the difference between that and the 10 mil for being a college football coach, which is one of the most stressful, insane jobs you can have, I don't think I'd take that money. That difference is not enough for me.
Also, there's never been a quarterback John Gruden didn't like.
There's never been a player that John Gruden
didn't
like.
He's very complimentary.
He's a very positive guy.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, and no shocker that Butch Jones won't be back. That guy just looks kind of like a loser to me.
What's a shocker is they're just keeping... He's kind of a lame duck coach for the rest of the year. They're like, all right, finish your job, 2018.
Well, what do they have to lose?
Just fire him now, because like now McElwain, Florida's getting ahead in the coaching search.
Might be some buyout implications in waiting.
Money. Money implications.
Yeah. I think it'll cost them less if they let him finish.
Still very confusing to me still, and I've mentioned it on the podcast before, but I still don't understand the
buyouts.
The buyout stuff, because all right, let's say maybe I'm sure that's what it is. I'm sure you're right that it's probably a few million dollars difference if they... Who fucking cares?
When you're a big time
like
program,
one booster pick that tab up?
That, and when you're a big time program like Florida and Tennessee, you shouldn't be having these massive buyouts, because like you shouldn't be afraid of other schools coming in and poaching your coach. Like, the reason the buyout exists is so other teams can't come and take your coach. Sorry.
Yeah. What?
Dan, I'm not sure where you're seeing it. What is your source on this Butch Jones thing?
Saturday Down South.
Okay, because I'm looking. This has not yet been confirmed, best I can tell. But this is 100% likely to happen. The conjecture I've read is that they would fire him quickly, so they get in on the... If they wait till the end of the year, then they're behind on the coaching carousel.
Right, McElwain right now is gone.
Yeah, so especially with Florida, they're...
He's actually negotiating to take a lesser buyout to get out of Florida. And I think a lot of the implication is that this might be like a Dan Mullen position. His agent is also McElwain's agent. So
yeah, apparently Butch Jones just
had a standard Monday press conference and nothing interesting happened.
Okay.
And apparently, according to Reddit, Tennessee fans are pushing a hashtag empty Neyland or boycott Neyland protest. So just not show up to the game at all this week, which would be great.
That would be hilarious.
Well, you heard it here first. Butch Jones will not be retained in 2018. Please credit us with that breaking news.
Breaking news by me, I guess.
Yeah, Dan Regester. We already ran through the AP poll. Let's talk Man Outfitters. Let's do it. Let's talk about it.
Can I just touch on Lane Kiffin, though? Just being awesome, too.
Sure.
I mean, they're killing it at FAU right now, but he's a must-follow on Twitter right now.
Is he running this account himself?
Yes. He's just trolling everybody. Today, he tweeted out, better things are coming, right after all these jobs are opening up.
And how do you feel if you're an FIU person?
FAU.
FAU, sorry. How do you feel if you're an FAU person?
They knew this was coming.
Better still, things?
The head coach midseason can't be tweeting that shit out.
Yes, he can.
What an asshole.
They're FAU.
He's such a prick.
They're going to win their like first conference championship ever.
He already deleted it.
Did he?
Yeah.
Damn it.
He's such a moron.
Kiffin. I like Kiffin.
Kiffin's great.
You need assholes like he's him. It's
shit.
Like the Scarface speech,
he's a
man.
Shit
like
head
you need
coach,
you need bad guys
he's,
like him so you can point your fucking
fingers. How is he a
shit
head coach if
he's because he's been shitty everywhere he's been, that's why.
Who
is FAU
super irrelevant program. And now they're about to win their conference championship in Conference USA. They're rolling teams.
He's a trash head coach.
Great head coach.
A trash head coach.
Will be a great fit at Florida. Please leave Scott Frost alone. Please. Thank you. Every other team in the country, leave Scott Frost alone.
Oh, wait. No, he didn't delete it. The tweet just says, with like 15 M's. And then it's the monkey emoji covering its eyes. the football emoji. Followed by the fire emoji, and then a large photo of a black and white photo of clouds with the text, better things are coming, over the top of the clouds.
Also, let's just touch on it. Lane Kiffin was a good coach at Tennessee before he left. And also at USC, he had to deal with Pete Carroll's sanctions. So he had a tough...
He's a trash head coach.
He's a good coach. He's a very good coach. Please hire
him
in Florida, Tennessee, or Nebraska.
Remember how he did in the NFL, too? He's a trash NFL coach as well.
It's getting harder to defend him at this point.
No, he's great.
Oh, man.
Can't wait till he's coaching in the SEC.
Lane Kiffin. Are we done with college football?
Yeah, please.
Move the fuck on.
Please.
All right. Go to manoutfitters.com. The promo code that we have for manoutfitters.com, which is sports. Sports! That ends Tuesday at midnight. Tuesday, October 31st at midnight, Central Time. You need to use that code now because it expires then, and we will not have a new code for a while. We've got a bunch of True Grit back in stock. We've got grayers, sweatshirts, extremely comfortable, a classic relaxed fit, great for lounging, watching football, watching the World Series, whatever. Ton of Vineyard Vines, great long sleeve polos from them. Corduroy pants for psychos who wear corduroy pants.
Are they making a comeback?
I might be.
I had a couple pair like 6 years ago, and I wore them like a season like after the like too late. And
yeah,
people just ripped me to shreds. So
it's definitely a Dylan move.
So I closeted them
to try to pull off corduroy pants.
Well,
this is a while ago.
Yeah.
Do you still have them though?
No.
Oh, no. That's unfortunate.
I sure don't.
There's some guy at Goodwill just scoring huge right now by buying your old corduroy pants that are now back in style.
Sure, yeah. Yeah.
Manoutfitters.com. Use that code SPORTS before Tuesday at midnight. Get 10% off your entire order. Yeah, that's it. We're going to take a break. We'll be back. Talk about the NFL. Talk about hockey. And then we'll leave. If you're a big Game of Thrones fan, we are doing the Knights Rewatch on Oysters, Clams, and Cockles, our Game of Thrones podcast, starting back with season one. We're only through a few episodes so far, plenty of time for you to jump on. We're doing one podcast episode per episode of the show to be as prepared as we can for the final season of Game of Thrones. Come join the Knights Rewatch. Subscribe to Oysters, Clams, and Cockles on iTunes. Okay. All right, we're back. Time to talk NFL. Oh, God. A lot to run through here. Let's start with Zach Miller's leg, shall we? This is bad news. Zach Miller, who, and there's a couple reasons this story is...
Tight end for Chicago.
is controversial. And one is because the continued problems the NFL has had with what is a catch, what isn't a catch, the going to the ground, the completing the process, the whatever the fuck. This was one of the ones where I'm like, how this gets ruled not a touchdown, I do not understand. That being said, the more important thing is this man's health. The reason he set the ball down that resulted in it being called an incompletion was because his fucking leg snapped. And now doctors are apparently working to keep it from having to be amputated.
Which sounds like a serious thing.
It's not what you want.
So an artery was severed? That's what the takeaway here?
Yeah, because vascular surgeons are working on it. And vascular surgeons are artery...
They're vein guys.
Vein guys, yeah. Yeah, you...
That's terrifying.
It's a bad, bad move, man. They're grafting tissue from one leg to the other to try to repair the damaged artery. Doesn't sound nice.
No.
Is that the latest... Is that the latest information we have?
From Shefty?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, shit.
This is from about 40 minutes ago. Yeah.
Man.
The headline is, Zach Miller undergoes emergency surgery in effort to save injured leg. So, I've never heard of anybody losing their leg as a result of an injury in the NFL, but damn, that sucks.
I'm wondering if they are able to repair the artery and he keeps his leg. Will he get full strength back? I don't know how all that works, obviously, but...
This is the type of deal where if I'm Zach Miller and I come back 100% from this with two legs, there is no fucking way I'm going back onto a football
field. I'm probably done.
I'm Dunsky.
You think so?
If you come that close to losing a leg, it's like, you know what? I had a good run.
I'm definitely not playing for the Chicago Bears either.
Like, Zach Miller is 33, by the way, so he's been in the league a long
time.
Yeah,
chunk the deuce, retire, go live on a beach somewhere with your two legs and your millions of dollars. No sense in risking a leg. Once you've already risked one. Let's talk about the Texans.
Yeah, go for it.
Did we get to talk about the McNair stuff at all? We didn't last week, did we? Because that broke over the weekend. So basically, for those, I don't know how you would have missed this story at this point because it blew up so big. But Bob McNair, in the secret owners meeting that took place to discuss the issues with the national anthem protests and whatnot, made the terrible mistake of saying, in reference to those protests, we can't have the inmates running the prison.
Well, it's not very secret if he gets out.
Well, they keep referring to it as a secret meeting. But somehow everyone has sound bites and quotes from the meeting and shit. I don't really get... Yeah. Like, was it bugged? Was one of the coaches wearing a wire? What is this? Anyway, point being, the saying is not the inmates running the prison. The saying is the inmates running the asylum. Mm-hmm. He was one word away. One word. From just being like 80% less offensive. But he blew it.
It still would have been taken the wrong way.
But it wouldn't have been near as bad.
You're right.
It's obviously much worse
that
he said prison. Now, as a result of his statements and them coming out, we had like half the freaking team was about to refuse to play.
Hopkins walked out of practice.
Hopkins didn't even practice on Friday. It was bad. Much of this charge was led by Dwayne Brown, who sat out the first 5-6 weeks of the season as a holdout. And apparently is just doing all this. Well, not to take away from Dwayne's beliefs in his movement and his cause, but he has some added reasoning to be so adamantly against McNair, and that's that he wants out of Houston. He wants to be traded. The whole thing was a fucking mess, and it led to what was going to be a really interesting game in Seattle. I thought we were going to get pummeled as a result of all this distraction. But no, once again, the team looked great. And minus one kind of pussy-ass Bill O'Brien call to not go for it on... to not give us a chance to get a first down. Instead of going for the win, basically, and burning more time off the clock, he played it safe, stayed conservative, ran the ball when our defense couldn't stop shit, and we lost. But
both quarterbacks over 400 yards and 4 touchdowns.
Very, very exciting, fun game to watch. Very, very little defense, 41-38 final score. And two mobile quarterbacks with big arms throwing to guys who are not being guarded downfield.
Yeah.
It's pretty sweet. Also, Hopkins had a, like, 74-yard touchdown catch. I mean, he caught the ball at the line of scrimmage. And so you don't need to go to practice, kids.
Mm-mm.
Practice is for suckers.
We're talking about practice.
Yeah.
Not game.
Yeah. Bad loss, tough loss, quickly made up for by the Astros win, obviously.
Yeah, I think you guys are going to be fine, though, in the AFC
South. Dude, the big thing for this Texans season, the takeaway is we got our franchise quarterback. I really don't care. The loss didn't hurt at all.
Yeah, I mean, I think you could still win the division very easily.
Yes. Plenty of games left. Plenty of shit in the division outside of it. We need some defense. Would be nice. But
Cowboys had a big win against the Redskins.
We them boys.
They did. They did.
I thought they were going to blow it at the end there, but they did not blow
it.
For
a second place in the NFC East. Must be nice.
Yeah, we could run through the division leaders real quick because we're halfway through the season. Pats lead the AFC East. They're 6-2. Buffalo Bills are 5-2. Their best start in like 6 years.
They rolled Oakland.
Yeah.
Steelers are 6-2 and seem to be in control of the AFC North. The Titans and Jags are tied at 4-3. The Texans are at 3-4 in the South, right behind. Let's see, AFC West. The Colts are the Chiefs are 5-2. Broncos are 3-3. We'll talk about the Monday night game in a moment. Dan's Eagles are 7-1.
Best team in
command
NFL.
In the NFC East. Vikings 4-2 in the NFC North. Seem to be in a good spot with Aaron Rodgers out. Packers at 4-3 currently. Saints are 5-2. Panthers at 5-3 right behind them.
Fucking Saints,
in the South.
Man.
And the Seahawks and Rams are tied at 5-2 in the West.
The Saints turned their shit around. They look like ass the first couple games. Their defense looks better. Obviously, their offense was going to turn it around, but I'm just surprised to see how...
They have won 5 straight.
Yeah, they've really figured it out.
They got rid of Peterson.
And Ingram has just been crushing it every week since. Thank you. Thankful for him on my fantasy team. I know everybody cares.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm just thankful for the Eagles because they cut my deficit this weekend.
That was the one win you got?
Eagles minus 12.5. Easiest money you could have had.
So you lost every college football bet?
No, I won FAU. Thank you, Lane Kiffin, for that. Yeah. But yeah, won 3-1 on the weekend for college football.
And again, just to comfort you some, that's not a bad weekend. Like 0-10 is a bad weekend. That's a bad weekend. A very bad weekend, and I've had many of those. So just take some solace in knowing that, like, 1-3-1, yeah, it sucks to come out of a weekend going the wrong direction.
Just coming out of the weekend not having to pay your bookie is a good feeling.
That is a win.
Yeah.
Coming out of a weekend not having been absolutely throttled is a win. Yes. So don't feel too bad. What else? Steelers' Juju Smith-Schuster. That's how you say it, right? Schuster?
Oh, yeah.
193 yards on 7 receptions, which the reason this matters is obviously because Martavis Bryant was saying, like, if they can't get me the ball, I need to go somewhere else. Well, they found it. This guy's much better. So he can go do whatever he wants. They're not going to give a shit.
All-time celebration.
What was that? Was a celebration.
I didn't see it either.
I love me a good celebration.
So I forget what the story was before. It was something about his bike getting stolen.
Oh, yeah. No. He rode his bike home from the game or some shit with his helmet on.
Okay. Whatever it was, after he scored the touchdown, he went over to the exercise bike, took a chain, and locked up the exercise bike. Like
as if it was him.
Yeah.
And as you recall, last week he did the great hide-and-go-seek celebration.
Yes, dude.
Oh,
he's
same
very
guy?
Good.
This rookie has swag. He's not even 21 years old. He's the youngest
he's
player in the
rookie?
NFL.
Yeah, he was a Trojan last year, right? He's USC. Little swagger, little LA.
The chain he used to lock up the bike was an actual chain or
here's
an invisible
his quote.
Chain?
Here's his quote. So today we had a lot of free time. I decided to go get a chain. So I went to Home Depot down the street, bought a chain, and I was like, if I score, my celebration is going to be the bike thing. So we have the spin bike where train to warm up your leg. As soon as I scored, I went to the bike, grabbed the chain, and locked it up. And it was fun to prove that I got my bike back, and I'm locking it up this time and with my boys and celebrating.
Okay.
So real chain from Home Depot.
I know very little about this guy, but I'm already a fan.
Big fan. Great name. Juju Smith-Schuster.
It's a strong name.
Juju? Fuck, I wish my name was Juju.
We started calling you Juju.
I think it's too late for that. 30 years deep on the planet, I can't just start going by Juju.
Fair.
I'm still Bill. Monday Nighter tonight.
Good game.
Broncos Chiefs. Maybe good game, Dan. We don't know. Are the Broncos any good? They've sucked ass a couple weeks.
Rolled the
Cowboys.
Didn't
they get blanked last week?
Yeah, the NFL's weird.
It's
been a weird year. We've addressed that.
Yeah. I hope it's good. Chiefs are minus 7 on mybookie.ag. The over-under's 42.5.
That's a lot of points.
Yeah, but dude.
Divisional game. It's an Arrowhead. I get that.
Okay, see, this is one where I would be like, all right, bounce back week for the Broncos. Surely they can cover a touchdown. So I'm going to fade myself and go Chiefs minus 7.
Chiefs coming off a loss too?
Yes.
They lose the Steelers? Two straight. They got to right the ship. Yeah, maybe they come out and Andy Reid blows the doors off them. I don't know. I don't know what to make of the Broncos. I don't know what to make of the Chiefs. I don't either.
But I'm going Chiefs minus 7.
Okay. I'll go Broncos. I'll take the points.
I got Chiefs. You go plus 7. Sorry, Klein. I love you still. But I got Chiefs, man.
Plus 7. Yeah. All right. If you need somewhere to bet on this Monday Night Football game or any of the other games coming up later in the week, you know where to go. Mybookie.ag. You can use the code BACKDOOR to activate up to a 50% deposit bonus.
I'm on mybookie.ag right now, and it's still 100%.
Still 100%.
So what? That could disappear any moment.
We don't know when that's going to go away. But
get
it's
your
allegedly,
money in. Do it now.
Allegedly, that will turn into 50% at some point. So if you get on right now, backdoor, use that code to activate the offer. Get yourself a deposit bonus. You play, you win, you get paid on mybookie.ag. They've got live in-game betting, so if you miss kickoff, you can still get a bet down. They got football, basketball, hockey, all the fucking prop bets you could possibly handle. Mybookie.ag.
They got a casino. Find me on the blackjack tables.
They do have a casino. We like to partake in that casino on Fridays and what we like to call Casino Friday. Perhaps again this Friday. Who knows? Okay, on to the NHL. Good Lord.
Shouts to my Golden Knights, who are just the hottest team in the NHL.
This isn't really an NHL segment. It's really just a Las Vegas Golden Knights segment.
We're killing it out there. We're killing it on the ice.
5 in a row, 8-1.
We're so good.
You really are. You are so good at hockey.
I need to go out there and catch a game.
That would be fun, man.
You want to roll out?
I'm surprised they haven't invited us, to be frank.
It's stupid that they haven't.
Dude, how great would it be if we could catch a Golden Knights Preds game.
Oh, shit.
You and me both go in jersey, and we fight each other at center ice to entertain the fans.
You know what? I need to buy a jersey. I need one.
They're called sweaters, guys.
I need to buy a
sweater. Are they
really? Yeah, it's a hockey term.
I need to buy a sweater.
Who's the best player? Fans don't say jersey at all?
Who's the most, not the best, who's the most electric personality on the Golden Knights? Do we know?
Marc-Andre Fleury?
Look, dude, we both know the move is to get shivery put on.
Oh, I'm not getting a custom one.
Why not?
Because I'm a real Golden Knights fan, man.
I don't know, man. I think you should get
it. Should I get my own last name on it?
Fuck. Your last name is very hockey-ish.
Yeah, you know what? You're right. It really is.
That's a good hockey last name. Damn. Just a really long, ridiculous amount of vowels.
It would look good on a sweater, right?
Would look good on a sweater.
Get a James Neal sweater.
Winter is coming. It's a good time to buy a new sweater.
You know what? Fuck it. I'm doing it.
I wonder how much one of these would run you.
I've been a fan like forever. I'm surprised I haven't had one before.
I know, lifelong. Damn. Yeah, all right, fuck it. Let's get sweaters. I'll get a press sweater
for the sweater up. Golden Knights. They should send me sweaters.
Seriously, I gotta go with some. I gotta go with somebody else's last name. The Bolin on the back of a hockey sweater. That's too short.
Yeah, you have a trash last name.
No, I'm not saying that. It's just a trash hockey last name.
I am.
Well, you should probably get a Subban jersey, right?
Probably, yeah.
PK.
PK. Yeah.
Yeah, he's a stud.
Yeah. We don't know shit.
He's very philanthropic.
If you go to shop.nhl.com and the Vegas Knights page, you can get a
James Neal jersey.
Well, you can get one with your own name on it for $199.
That's it?
Damn.
Or $249 for what appears to be a more authentic jersey.
I'll get
the
more authentic.
Okay, dude, you got to go with the game jersey.
Is there a $350 version one? I want that one if there is.
It looks like $249 is the most you can spend. That's an authentic gray Adidas custom jersey. You can get a women's custom jersey for $119. Ooh. So,
might have to slim down. Yeah.
I mean, it's essentially a dress.
How much it is pretty tapered.
How much is a jersey of another player?
We are not being paid for this promotion, just for the fucking record. This is just cut the check, NHL.com.
Micah, how much is just a regular jersey of someone else's name?
Let's see.
All right. I'll pick
$199 or $249. Same price.
Oh.
You could get a, yeah, Micah is correct. Yeah.
Can't wait.
The big story, the big news of the day is that we're going to go shopping for hockey jerseys.
Yeah, and if you use promo code NHLFan1, you get free shipping with no minimum on shop.nhl.com.
What does backdoor get you?
It doesn't get you anything. Hashtag sports are just... I'll stop.
Yeah, thank you, Micah. That was remarkable. We're done. We have a hotline, the backdoor cover hotline, 800-392-6344. Call the hotline, 800-392-6344. Ask us a question. Rant. Yell at us for being wrong about something. Like how Dan claimed Butch Jones was out in Tennessee when he might not be.
No, he's definitely out.
He might not be.
He's 100% out.
Well, it hasn't been reported yet.
We don't know that that's been made official. But, Dan, you get credited when it does. 800-392-6344. We play the best calls every week on our Thursday show. So tune back in Thursday for the Thursday podcast. See if your call gets played. Listen to the calls that do get played and our responses to them. That is it for our show today. Shouts. Who has shouts? Got to have shouts. Shouts to Jose Altuve, George Springer.
Shouts to the head coach of the Golden Knights.
Carlos Correa.
I'm not sure who it is, but he's doing a great job out there. He's doing a great job.
Shouts to Kate Upton.
Shouts to Scott Frost.
Verlander. From now on, every show, I'm just going to get the entire roster of the Astros and read through it. I've never been more proud or happy about a team. What a fucking insane series.
You've been
this
super
has
on
been.
Board since like October 1st, right?
Yeah, dude. I've been deep for like 3 weeks now. Crazy shit.
Let's wrap this up.
ManOutfitters.com. Use the code SPORTS. That expires tomorrow, October 31st, which is Halloween. Happy Halloween to everybody. And that's it.
Bye.
Bye.